Title of today's sermon is Seated with Christ. Can we repeat that together? Seated. Let's say that together. Seated with Christ. Open your Bible to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Let's just look at verse 13. Colossians. Anybody need a Bible today? Anybody need a Bible too? Okay, you all have. That's good. Colossians chapter 1. Today I'll be teaching, and just be patient with me. I have a lot to teach you today. And it's because I'm passionate that you get this truth and this revelation. Because I believe that it really makes a difference in your ability to live victoriously in this world. Colossians chapter 1. And we're reading verse 13. Okay? Anyone there yet? Colossians 1:13. Okay? We'll have one of our youth. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. Please follow in your Bible.
He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love.
Who delivered us? Who is the E that has delivered? Jesus. Who are the us that have been delivered? Hallelujah. So, I'm going to ask you a question now. Amen? Sister, which sister can I find? Let's ask this brother. Hello? Hello, big brother. Do you need deliverance?
No.
Why?
I'm already delivered.
Hallelujah. That is your spiritual position. I want you to understand that. That before, you were under the dominion of darkness. Yeah? Darkness could lord it over you. Darkness could kick you about like football. Yeah? And use it to score a golden goal. Hallelujah. But when Jesus came into your life, the first thing he did was to deliver you. Because basically, you can never be a child of God if you are still under the kingdom of darkness. Amen? There are only two kingdoms in this world. How many kingdoms? And there's no middle ground. If you are not in the kingdom of Christ, you are in the kingdom of Satan. Now, I'm not saying that you worship Satan, but you are under his dominion. Because the Bible says that, you know, a strong man, yeah? When there's a strong man, yeah? He keeps all his goods and his house in order. Yeah? And he's at peace. Until a stronger man comes. When a stronger man comes, now he can scatter and take all his goods for spoil. Hallelujah. Before Jesus came, we were all under the power of darkness. Hallelujah. We are under the dominion of Satan. Satan could do as he liked. Hallelujah. But when Jesus came, yeah, he dethroned Satan in your life. So Jesus has dethroned Satan and all his messengers in my life. I am delivered from the power of darkness. Darkness does not have any right. Does not have any legal right to lord it over me. Now, but I want to explain something. I want you to understand that the fact that you have been delivered does not necessarily mean you will live in freedom automatically. You know why? Because there is a law called the law of stealing. You know the law of the thieves? They don't have any constitution. Thieves don't respect the law. That's why they are called what? So what did John 10:10 say? John chapter 10 verse 10. He said the thief does not come but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you can have what? Life. And have it what? To the full. Hallelujah. There is a thief around called Satan. He does not have the legal right in your life because now you are a child of God. And you didn't become a child of God by birth. Natural birth, I mean. You became a child of God by new birth. You became a child of God by being born again. That means of being born again. You being born again means that you have now become a child of God by receiving Jesus into your life. It's Jesus that gives you a new heart and a new spirit. When you accept him as your Lord, he gives you what? A new heart and a new spirit. He rescues you from the dominion of Satan and he puts you under his own kingdom. Are you with me? But there's a thief. A thief does not follow the law. A thief attempts to steal or kill or what? Or destroy what is not theirs. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So if in your life you see a sign. Hold on, let me say this. If in your life you see a messenger of Satan. Yeah? That does not mean you have not been delivered. Spiritually, you are delivered. But now today's message is, how can I move from what I am spiritually and experience it physically? So I always tell you, I said, it's in the physical that you need the blessing. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter all the blessing that God has given you in the spiritual. If you are not experiencing the physical, you are losing out. Are you with me? Because you say, I've come that you may have what? Life. Let me give you my own version. And that life should dominate you completely. Amen? Spirit, soul, and what? And body. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord is good. And all the time. Okay, let's move into, I'll be preaching and teaching. I'll just be moving in and out as the Holy Spirit leads me. First question today is, it's a simple one. Where is Jesus Christ right now? We've already read it. Let's start with the youth. Where is Jesus Christ right now? I think we discussed that. So let's, any other person? Where is Jesus Christ right now? We both. The worst that can happen is that you give a good answer that is not perfect. Where is Jesus Christ right now?
He's in heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father.
He's where?
In heaven.
Where is he? What's he doing? He's seated. Hallelujah. Please, I want to teach you about that. That's a perfect answer. I want to teach you about that answer. Let's open to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to explain to you what it means, what that statement. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 19. Nigel, let me just go straight. Let's see where we have. Yes, let's read verse 19 to 23. Ephesians 1, 19 to 23. Someone who has not read today, so hopefully we can go around. Yes, my sister. Ephesians 1, 19 to 23.
I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the
Jesus Christ is seated where? In the place of honor. Another version will tell you that He is seated in the place of authority. I want you to understand that. When you are fighting a war, yeah? You don't sit. You stand and fight, isn't it? But when you have won the victory, what do? You sit. So the mere statement that Jesus is seated means that He has won what? The victory. Hallelujah. He is seated. Hallelujah. Say, Jesus is seated. Where and how? Continue reading.
Now He is far above any ruler.
He is seated at the right hand. So let me ask a question. I'm coming back to you. I know you know my style now. Please tell us the significance of the right hand of a king. So should we ask somebody? What's the difference between the left hand and the right hand of the throne?
People that sit on the right hand are the immediate lieutenants of the king.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's where the is the right hand. Is the trusted man. Yeah, the next, in authority is where? At the right hand. Hallelujah. Jesus is the right hand, is the place of power. If the king wants to execute something, call his right hand. Hallelujah. I want to show something. Do you know actually that one of the titles of Jesus is the right hand? Psalm 118. He said, "The right hand of the Lord does valiantly." That's his title. It's a title. It's not just a title. That's his title. He is the right hand of the Father. Amen? He's the right hand of what? The Father. That's the place of power. He sits at the right hand. He is the right hand. When God wants to manifest in this world, the Bible says no one has seen God at any time. Even Moses did not see God. He might have seen back, but he did not see God. Because he said, no man can see me and believe. But when God wants to manifest Himself, who does He manifest? Jesus. He is the right hand of the Father. Now, please read that again. He's seated at the right hand. What is that position compared to where we are today. Continue reading from the right hand.
From the right hand. That raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly
yes.
realms. Now he is far above
the ruler. He is far. Somebody say far.
Far.
And let's say it in the way you understand. Say far. Far. He is far, far. Jesus is far, far. Above what?
Any ruler.
Principalities and powers, thrones and dominions. If I take it to chapter 6, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, he is seated what? Far above them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's what? He's not just above them. He's what? Far above them. Hallelujah. Jesus is seated what? Far above them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please continue reading.
Far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come.
Hallelujah. Continue.
God has put all things under the authority of
God. God has put all things. How many things?
All.
Under the authority of Christ. Continue.
And has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church.
Now listen to that one. Jesus is head over all things. Why? Why is Jesus head over all things? For your benefit. That's why it's very difficult for me to sing that song and say, victory belongs to you, victory belongs to you, victory belongs to you. No. The victory that belongs to Jesus is for my benefit. You have to understand, every victory that Jesus won, he won it for your benefit because he is the head. And who are you? The body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is the head, you are the body. I want you to understand something. Have you ever seen a head? Yeah? Cooking food. Hallelujah. Have you ever even seen a head fighting wars? Have you? The head operates to the body. Amen? Everything the head wants to do, it must use what? The body. And the Bible says, we are the body. That means that anything Jesus wants to do in this world today. And if you ever pray and say, Jesus, come down, you are wasting your time. Because he did his own and he ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father now. He is seated in victory. Anything Jesus will do in this world today, he will do it what? Through his body. And what is the body of Christ? The church. Or? We are members of that body in particular. Anything. Hallelujah. Any breakthrough, any deliverance, any healing, any miracle, any preaching, anything that Jesus wants to do in this world today, it must be done what? Through the body. Or, let's say it this way, through you. Hallelujah. So if the devil is kicking your butt, don't begin to pray to Jesus because it won't come down. You know why? He already ascended. But if you read that place, he said he's seated. Yeah? Until another version says, he said, the Lord said to my Lord, it's in Psalms and it's in Hebrews, sit thou at my right hand until I make all your enemies your footstool. Hallelujah. Who is going to make his enemies footstool? We enforce the victory of Christ. He said, oh Jesus, I'm depending on you to give you victory. Amen? Jesus said, Sister Dorothy, I'm depending on you to enforce my victory. Because I am already victorious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the head of is the head over all things for the benefit of the church. Jesus' victory is for my benefit. Hallelujah. Everything he did was for what? My benefit. I benefit. Hallelujah. It's my legal right as a child of God. It's not something I'm begging for. He said, oh God, please deliver me. Yeah, you can pray that prayer if you're a spiritual baby. And by the way, being a spiritual baby has nothing to do with age. Amen? You can be 90 and be a spiritual baby. Your spiritual age is based on how much of the word of God dwells in your spirit. Hallelujah. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. But by what? Every word Some people just get angry. Say, how can pastor say that? How can pastor say what he said? I'm not saying what I said now, maybe before. I've been in this church for 15 years. You can be in the church for 15 years and not grow. Because you are not paying attention to the word of God. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? It is possible for a little child to know more than you spiritually. What did Jesus say? He said, out of babes, the mouth of babes and sucklings, he has perfected praise. So if a little child tells you a spiritual truth, don't get angry. That's how the kingdom works. Hallelujah. It's not according to age. Hallelujah. It's according to revelation. Say revelation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ being head over all things is for your benefit. Say that. Say Jesus being head over all things is for what? My benefit. Say it belongs to me now. Because of time, I need to move on from there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 13. So let's have another reader. Thank you so much, my sister. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 13. Let's go this side. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 13.
For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized.
For by what? For by one Spirit. Yes?
Are we all baptized?
Are we all baptized? Yes?
Into one body.
Into one body.
Whether we Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
We have all been made to drink into what? One Spirit. I won't tell you, this is not talking about water baptism. Amen? Hallelujah. This is talking about the new birth. Bible says that he that is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. Let me say it in a way that you understand. Say, human beings can only produce natural life. And he that is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. When you are born again, you are born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And when you are born again, what happens? That the Spirit baptizes. So that baptizer is, it immerses you into the body. So when you got born again, you were immersed. You became a member. You became a part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. When you got born again, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were grafted in to the vine. Hallelujah. Now, right now, if you are truly born again, you are a part of the body of Christ. And Jesus Christ's headship is for your benefit now. Hallelujah. You end that ride by new birth. So you say, I end that ride, that legal ride, in the Supreme Court of the universe, by new birth. Hallelujah. Like I explained last week. Yeah? When George was born, George is son to William. William is son to Charles. And Charles is son, what? To the King Queen. But William had another brother called what? Harry. Yeah? So William was the second in line to the throne after his father. And Harry was the third in line before William had a child. You with me? But when George got born, from even day zero, he bounced Harry. Bye-bye. He didn't have to do anything about it. The fact that he was born into that family made him the third in line to the throne automatically. Before he ever did anything. Hallelujah. The same way, when you get born again, you become a member of the body of Christ. You are now part of that body. Hallelujah. You have been baptized through the new birth, the work of the Holy Spirit. You have been made to drink of the Spirit. That, the meaning of that is that the Holy Spirit lives in you now. I've explained to you before. I said, Jesus does not live in you directly. Because, where is he? So, but before he left, what did he say? He said, I will send you another helper. He's coming to take my place. This one, he will abide with you, what? Forever. Hallelujah. So the way Jesus lives in you right now is the Holy Spirit. that you drank of it when you got born again. Hallelujah. You may not be filled, but you drank. Hallelujah. So say to yourself, no, actually, don't say to yourself, just listen to me. So actually, the Holy Spirit is my best friend. He is. In actual fact, because he's the one that understands me most, and he's the one I talk to about my deepest feelings most. And I'm telling you, gospel truth. Hallelujah. I connect with him. I relate with him. We talk about the communion of the Holy Spirit. He got to commune with the Holy Spirit. Yeah? If it's in you, it's in you so that you can have conversation. Say conversation. When your wife is not understanding you, have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. When your husband is not understanding you, what do you do? Don't pick up the phone and call 10 friends who can make you feel good. Hallelujah. What do? Have a conversation with what? The Holy Spirit. We said it on Friday. Say people are nobody is perfectly objective. Everybody's objectivity is colored by their values and beliefs. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what I said on Friday. I said, when unbelievers are criticizing Christians, don't worry. That's their job. They have to do it. Amen? Now listen. Through that criticism, we may learn something. There are things we can learn from the world. Amen? The fact that a cook is not born again does not mean that I cannot learn cooking skills from her. Are you with me? The unbeliever, let them criticize. We may learn one or two things. But don't join them. Because somebody who is not born cannot see the kingdom of God. He can never understand the way the kingdom works. Hallelujah. Don't put your reasoning under their reasoning. Because they don't reason like you do. Because they cannot see what you see. Hallelujah. You see, if you have a medical problem, the only way will tell you, go to the doctors. Because that's all he says. The one that believes in witchcraft will say, go to the witch doctor. Because that's all they see. Are you with me? You don't get angry with them. That's all they see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The only way will tell you, I know a way you can do it. He said, I would like to get married. He said, I know a way you can do it. Amen? You cannot live your life based on the way unbelievers live. They cannot tell you a good thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in the way of the kingdom. In the kingdom, yes, you can use medicine. But you have something greater than medicine. Because it is Jehovah Rapha. The Lord. Hallelujah. Do you realize that Bible makes us understand that except when they sinned, when the children of Israel were moving from Egypt to Canaan, except when they sinned, there was none sick among them. Hallelujah. None. Hallelujah. How many? None. Because what? He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord. The unbeliever will not understand that ever until they get born again. Hallelujah. Because they cannot see the kingdom of God. Are you with me? If you are with me, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a member of the body. I have been baptized into Christ by new birth. Hallelujah. Everything that belongs to Christ is for my benefit. It's like Christ, fill this bank account. And then he gave us all open what? Check. Today I will show you how to sign it. What is missing is signature and presentation. If you have a check, if it's unsigned, no show. If you have a signed check, until you go and present it in the bank to make your claim, what do you get? No show. Are you still with me? Let's move on. Question. So my question is this. So now we know that Christ is still at the right hand of the Father. And we know that we are here in the physical, facing all these influences. Sin, Satan, world, they are all there pulling at us like a tug of war. Yeah? We know that the Holy Spirit is in us. He is our guarantee. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you are guaranteed to make everything. Hallelujah. The only way you will know that you're not going to heaven anymore is when the Holy Spirit has gone from you. If he has gone, then you won't make heaven. Hallelujah. But let me tell you another good news. So long you still believe in Christ Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit will not leave you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those the Holy Spirit will leave are those who have forsaken Christ. If it were possible, and I believe it is, to walk away from Christ and say, I'm not doing it anymore. Yeah? Then you're at risk of hell. But so long you are still in Christ, hallelujah, He will never leave you. No what? Forsake you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that not reassuring? I told you something. I said, death is not a trivial thing. Somebody missed their meal, their breakfast. That doesn't mean they will die. Yeah? Somebody was playing, they cut their leg and it was bleeding. That doesn't mean they will die. Are you with me? But if they are always in risky situation every day of their life, they are closer to death than the others. Are you with me? The same thing spiritually. You see, a Christian may fall into sin. That doesn't mean they're going to hell. Because they can repent. Hallelujah. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, what happens? He's faithful and just to forgive us. Amen. But a Christian who is living in habitual sin, habitual rebellion, habitual lust, then they are at greater risk of dying spiritually. Are you with me? Say to yourself, I'm a child of God. I'm a member of the body of Christ. Christ functions on the earth through me. You see, if you don't believe it, it will not work for you. Because without faith, it is impossible. You can know something in your head, but until you believe it with your heart, it will not deliver the result you want. Are you with me? You can know it in your head. But when you start believing with your heart, you will see result. Amen? Open your Bible. Question. The answer is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Ephesians 2, verse 5 to 6. This is the question. What is the spiritual? We know that our physical position is on the earth. Well, what is the spiritual position or the spiritual location of the believer today? Yes, I'm looking for an answer. Your spiritual position. Where are you spiritually? I know you're physically sitting on the chair right now. But where are you located spiritually? Yes, let's have one of our youth there. And then show us the Bible verse, if you can. Give us the answer first. Answer first.
I'm going to be seated with Christ.
We are what? Seated with Christ. Can you give us the Bible verse? Please open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5, chapter 2. Verse 5 and 6. Let's have someone who has not read today. My sister at the back is there. She's looking very quiet. Hello. Okay, you see? This is how the kingdom works. No, go for it. Ephesians 2, verse 5 and 6.
Even when we were dead in sins.
Even when we were dead in our sins, what did Jesus do?
I quickened us together.
He quickened. That's what it means to be born again. We were in spiritual death. But when we believed, yeah, He brought us back to life. We have been saved by grace. Yes? Verse 6.
Raised us together.
He raised us up what? Together. Ha ha.
And made us all together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
He made us sit. Is this it? Yeah? He made us sit together. Someone say together. Together. Hallelujah. Because of time, let me just move on because I'm not yet reached the real place I'm going to. I want to show you your spiritual position. See, the fact that you are living in the world does not mean that's all there is to you. Amen? Bible says that God, before we were dead in our sins, but when we got born again, God raised us together. I want to see the word together. It means that, what it simply means is that everything Jesus was experiencing, when you got born again, He made you benefit. Hallelujah. From what He did. Hallelujah. Amen. He died. We died with Him. That happens by faith. Amen. Don't pray and say, God, I want to die. Spirit, I want to die to sin. You are already dead to sin. by faith, because Christ is dead to sin. We share in his death. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus was raised from the dead. Bible says we were raised together. Amen. That means we share in his resurrection. Amen. Before we were spiritually dead, but now we believe we have been made alive with Christ. I'm alive unto God. That's why I tell you I'm not a sinner. Hello? I'm not a sinner. I sin sometimes, but I'm not what? A sinner. You see, a sinner, we sin habitually by nature. A pig, we wallow in the mud. Hello? A pig, what? But a cat, we not. If you throw a cat and force it into the mud, it's looking for the first route out. You are not a pig. Say, I'm not a pig. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Now, spiritually, Bible says, God, he made us to sit together. Remember, where is Jesus seated? At the right hand. The right hand of power. And spiritually, we are seated with him. Let me just give another illustration, then I'll move to the next level. The reason why we are seated with him is because where the head goes, the body follows. Amen? The head and the body, they are what? Together. If Jesus is seated spiritually, we are seated with him. So you ask me, oh, but why did he leave you on the earth? Because Jesus has already left the world. You are the one he's depending on now to function for him. If anybody is going to be healed, it's going to be the church or a member of the church that does it. If anybody is going to receive miracles, it's going to be what? The church or a member of the church that does it. If anybody is going to cast out devil, it's not Jesus that will come down again to do it. He's the head. We are what? The body. The head functions through what? The body. If anybody will preach the gospel, yeah? Who will do it? The body. Hallelujah. Say, I am a member of the body of Christ. Philippians 4:13 says, therefore, repeat after me, say, therefore, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the true meaning of that scripture. Hallelujah. The meaning is that when Christ wants to function, he will use me. Hallelujah. Someone is in trouble. They will come to me. I will give them a word of wisdom. Or a word of knowledge. A discernment of a situation. Hallelujah. Someone is sick. Mark 16. Say, I will lay my hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. But you yourself will lay your hands on the sick. You don't want to be sick, do you? No. So it starts from me. Hallelujah. I am the Jesus that the world will see. Many people will never see Jesus for their whole lifetime. Some people have visions of Jesus. But I tell you, it's only 1% of the population. Or maybe 5. Probably less. Most people will not have that vision of Jesus. You are the Jesus they will see. As I say, let your light so shine. And your light shining is not just in behavior, it's in power. Hallelujah. Because Jesus was not just a good man. The Bible says he went about doing good. So he was a good man. Yeah? But that's not all. And what? And destroying, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Because God was in him. That is what he has empowered you to do by sitting you together with him at God's right hand. Now, remember that right hand is far what? Above all principality and power, including the ones that are oppressing you right now. You are above them spiritually. Amen? In the physical, they are above you. Because Bible calls the devil the prince of the power of the air. Amen? So if you want to fight the devil in the physical, he will defeat you. Hello? You can't fight the devil by argument. Amen? If someone is being motivated by evil spirit, you can't argue them to victory. Amen? Because what's motivating them is not ordinary. Amen? If you want to have victory over the devil, you got to rise to your seated position spiritually and operate over them spiritually. Hallelujah. There is a physical battle, but there's also what? A spiritual battle. And the spiritual is much greater than the physical. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not everything that presents itself in life that is a physical problem. There are even situations that doctors cannot help you. Lawyers cannot help you. Yeah? Counselors cannot help you. I always tell you, I say, when your problem goes beyond the ordinary, yeah? Begin to understand that you need more. Amen. Hallelujah. If you come up and say, this is not ordinary, then it's not what? Ordinary. You don't need to start second guessing. Hallelujah. You need to rise to yourself. So what I want to do now is, on the latter part of this message, I want to show you now how you can exercise your authority over the powers of darkness. Because we know you've been delivered. But we also know that the thief can come in to steal and kill and destroy. How do I keep the thief off my life? Hallelujah. How do I kick the devil out of my domain? Hallelujah. That is the question. That is what? The question. So let me ask you a question before we go into that final phase. So let me just say this. We are seated with Christ at the Father's right hand of power. And by the way, if you want to write things, you can write them. The only thing I was saying the other time, I'm not against note taking, but I'm against, you know, losing concentration. Amen? You know, I would rather have you engage and listen than spend your time taking notes. But if the Holy Spirit brings something important to your mind, you should note it. Amen? Because you can forget. We are still at the right hand of power with Christ. The meaning of that is that we are seated in power with Him. Hello? If we are seated with Christ, it means we are seated, we are beneficiaries of His power. Are you with me? And that He is seated far above principalities and powers and thrones and dominions. It means that when these things show up in my life, I can exercise power over them. Not my power, the power I'm sharing by reason of my union with Christ. Amen? Does that make sense to you? Hallelujah. So say, I'm not helpless in this world. I have Jesus. Hallelujah. So the question is this. Who are you to exercise this power over? Yes, let's have some answers. Who are you to exercise this power that you have now? You are sharing with Christ. He's the head over all things. Who are you to exercise this power over? Yes? I heard someone say, over the back. Yes? Satan. Yes, over Satan. Is he only Satan? And?
The authorities.
And yes, and his messengers. Let me tell you something. For many of us, all through your life, you may not even have to deal directly with Satan. Like in a direct combat. Amen. So if Satan has not showed up in your life, don't go looking for him. The Bible did not say that. Amen. Have you never asked yourself, I saw the people, I said, all these days they've been binding Satan. How come he's not yet gone? Amen. Satan has a legal right to remain in this world until Jesus comes back and puts him in the bottomless pit. The Bible said that. Amen? So, we can't kick him out of this world, but we can kick him out of our lives. Hallelujah? Because we have been delivered from his dominion. Now, what I'm trying to say is that most of the time, it's not Satan you have to deal with. It doesn't mean you may not have to deal with Satan. Don't misunderstand me. Most of the time, you have to be the messenger. Somebody say messenger. Of what? Of Satan. So, the list is endless. Let's have some examples. What are the messengers of Satan? I want everybody to say something different. That was the easiest of them. Yes? Demons? Yes? What are the messengers of Satan? Everybody say something. Think. Everybody will say something. Yes? Who is ready? The messengers of Satan. Yes? Thank you. What?
Sickness.
Sickness is a messenger of Satan. The mission of sickness in your life is never good. Hey, listen to me. Sickness is a messenger sent by Satan to destroy you or pull you back. It's your enemy. Do you agree? Anybody love sickness? Yes?
War and strife.
War. Strife. Envy. Confusion. They are all messengers of what? Satan. Because I tell you something. Anywhere. The Bible says, where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Every evil work. Where there's envy and strife, there's what? is there's no limit to what can be done. Amen. So beware of envy and what strife. Yes, messengers of Satan.
Disease
is the messenger of Satan. There's only one mission of disease in anybody's life, is to end their life or bring them down, make them function at minimum capacity. Amen. He's not your friend, and he's not from God. Amen. Yes.
Lust and pride.
Yes. Lust. I'm lost. Oh, if you see, have you ever seen someone wonder the bondage of lust? It's a terrible thing. You know, when people start dealing with lust, yeah, they are enjoying it. But when the lust masters them, they're in bondage. Amen? Yes? Messengers of Satan?
Hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy?
Talking down
people, yes? Actually, some of these we are saying that are works of the flesh. You know, it's not every work of the flesh. If indirectly, the works of the flesh are messengers of Satan, but they are more direct messengers. You know? Envy, strife, hypocrisy, they are works of the flesh. Amen? It's in Galatians chapter 5, from verse 19. But there are some more direct messengers. Of course, the works of the flesh are indirectly messengers of Satan, because when they grow, yeah, when they grow, they will cause what? Trouble. Amen? Yes? You've had one. Just one turn.
Drug abuse.
Sorry? Drug addiction! Yeah? Now, it's not just the drug. You see, the drug is the work of the flesh. When people start in drug, they are just in the flesh, looking for pleasure. But when they are now under addiction, anything you are addicted to, yeah, is a messenger of Satan. You know what it means to be addicted? Where you cannot exercise free will against it anymore. Yeah? It's a messenger of Satan. Yes? No, just one more answer. Yes? Okay, I need to move on.
Depression.
Depression is a messenger of Satan. I'm not talking of just like you're feeling low. Everybody feels low. Hello? Everybody feels low when they are unhappy. Hello? Even when your football team loses a match. Team. Do you agree? So, if you are feeling low like that, don't open your mouth and say, I'm depressed. You're not depressed. Amen? You're just feeling low and you overcome it in Jesus' name. But when you are depressed and it's oppressive, it overtakes you. You can't do anything. You are incapacitated. That is the messenger of war, Satan. Let's have one more. And I need to move on because of time. Yeah, time is gone. You know, if I finish this message late, nobody will remember. You know?
I think, go on. Keeping company, so people who are out, some people Satan has sent to actually distract you from fulfilling the purpose of
yes.
God for your life.
Thank you. Let me show you my summary. Thank you. That's a very good one. Okay, the list is endless. Sorry? Fear. Yes! Fear! It's fear. It's a messenger of Satan. Sometimes in my experience, I find that anytime I'm trying to enforce victory over the devil, the first thing I need to overcome is fear. Something shows up that, you know, something you never thought could happen. Whether in your body or in your situation or whatever. You know, the first response is fear. But once you are afraid, you cannot enforce your authority. Amen? So you have to refuse to be what? Afraid. Hallelujah. You have to do what? You refuse to be afraid. Let me explain how it works. Because when fear wants to come in, usually it doesn't come straight to your spirit. It comes first to your mind. Amen? That's why you still have the power to refuse it in your spirit. Amen? But if you accept it in your mind, it will filter into your spirit and hold you bound. So you refuse. And how do you refuse? You have to open your mouth and say, I refuse you fear in the name of Jesus. I refuse. You see, Psalmist, he said, I will not be afraid. Check it. You think this confession is not new? Check Psalms. He said, I will not be afraid. He said, you're my hiding place. I will not be afraid. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, time is ticking, so I just need to show you some things and we round up. So, sin is a messenger of Satan. So when I say sin, I mean sin that dominates you. Yeah? It's a messenger of Satan. Sickness is disease, is poverty. I know what is the poverty. Poverty. May you not know poverty in Jesus' name. Poverty can stop you from functioning. Amen. This is not about prosperity preaching. Poverty can stop you from what? Somebody wants to come to church. They don't have any means of transport. They didn't even eat last yesterday. How will they come to church and sing in the choir? Amen. Somebody will work hard, but before their salary comes, every bill, all the monies have been spent. It's oppression. Poverty is a messenger of Satan. Fear, death, barrenness. But let me explain barrenness, because I know when I say barrenness, you're only thinking of one thing. Barrenness simply means you are not productive. You know, I see that you are making effort, but it's not producing harvest. You are sowing seed, but no what? Harvest. That's the meaning. So it's bigger than just one area. It's any aspect of life, even spiritually. Amen? It's a messenger, because he's there to pull you down. Like what he said, evil people are messengers of Satan. I told you, you know, sometimes people do things just because of their weakness of flesh. But sometimes they are motivated by evil spirits. They are messengers of Satan. It's in the Bible. Sent to pull you down. You know, Paul said it. He said, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. They were people. They were people, those people. Every time Paul showed up to preach, they were persecuted. Yeah, there was a place they called Paul God. 1 minute, next minute, they flogged them and put them in prison. It was a messenger of Satan. Evil people. Like I'm talking to me, I'm talking about people motivated by evil spirit. That's what I mean by evil people. You understand? They are bad people, but they are evil people. And of course, evil spirits. These are messengers of Satan. And they are there. They are all over the world. All these things I've listed, they are in the world today. Okay, let's move to the final place now. So 10 minutes, we finish. I hope you are learning something. Praise the Lord. Come on. Agnes, are you there? Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time. I can't finish this message without showing you this one. So the question is this. How do you exercise spiritual authority? Remember, I didn't say how do we. I said how do what? You. Because you are a member in particular. You have a name. Your name is recorded in heaven. You have, just like Prince George, you have the right to the throne. You may be third in line, but you are still in line. Hallelujah. Ari might have been shifted sixth in line, but he's still in what? He's still in line. He's still better than you that you're not in line at all. Hallelujah. Yeah, say, I'm still in line. Still in line. Glory to God. So I want to show you how do we exercise spiritual authority. You need to understand it. I want to show you how to, because it belongs to you. You can do it. I'll show you how to do it. Then you should start doing it. And I'm telling you what I've done for many years and seen result. I'm a very result-oriented person. Hallelujah. I don't like to waste my punches. You understand? If I'm punching something is not working, I will change direction. I want to punch. The one that is working, I will punch it out. Amen? I'll move to the next one I can punch. I don't like to waste my time. I'm very, very result-oriented. Amen? So this will work for you. If you work it. Think about it this way. I told you, if you put on this switch, the light will come on. If you don't put it on, with light come on, forget it. It's provided for. But you got to put it on. Amen? So the last place I'm opening to, Philippians chapter 2. Let's finish Philippians 2. I know you know this, but I want to show you because I got some revelation from it, some deeper insight. Of course, I study also into it. Philippians chapter 2, we're looking at three verses. Verse 9 to 11. Let's read it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. That's where we'll be rounding up within 5-6 minutes. Philippians 2, 9 to 11. Who would like to read? Yes. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Now, when you are reading that, somebody help me find a version that says every knee must instead of shall. But go on.
Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave the name above the names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I've known that scripture for more than 30 years. I can tell you the truth. But I tell you one thing about the word of God. It's not according to head knowledge. Yeah? It's according to revelation. And there's no revelation without meditation and confession. Amen? Confession is a form of meditation. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from where? Your head? Your mouth. It's your mouth. It's your mouth. It's your mouth. It's your mouth. Amen? Now, he said, anybody found a version that says every knee must bow? Yes, let's read that, and then I'll break it down, and then we'll finish that.
So that when they hear Jesus' name...
No, you just read the whole thing, 9 to 11.
Right. That is why God praised Jesus, why God raised Jesus Christ to the most important place.
Yes.
God gave him the name that is greater than every other name.
Hallelujah.
So that when they hear Jesus' name, everyone must bend down.
Everyone must bend. It's a must. Yes.
Everything that is alive in heaven must bend down.
Yes.
Everything that is alive on earth or under the earth must bend down.
Yes.
They must bend their knees to show that he is very great.
Hallelujah.
And everything that is alive must say aloud, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Hallelujah.
That will show that God the Father is very great and very good.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's break it down. So I want to deepen your understanding. And we already did an extension from last week. The way you exercise authority as a believer is to use the name above all names. Because at that name, every knee shall what? Bow. Or every knee must what? Bow. So if I'm ever going to exercise authority in my life, I cannot keep quiet. See that? Hallelujah. Amen. I must wake up in the morning, like I said last week, take the name of Jesus. That thing that is oppressing my life, that is a messenger of Satan. Please, you understand? Please, let me explain. Don't use the name of Jesus and, you know, call people to die. You understand? Not everybody is a messenger of what? Satan. People can behave badly, but that doesn't mean they are messengers of Satan. Only they are motivated by evil what? Spirits. Sometimes people are just stubborn. It doesn't mean they are messengers of Satan. Are you with me? So be careful. We are not in the business of destroying lives. Amen? We don't want to send anybody to hell. Amen? We want them to go to what? Heaven. Even the people that are causing you trouble, we want them to repent. Because the Bible says that God is not willing that any should what? Perish. But that they all come to repent. But where people are being motivated by evil spirits to oppress your life, you can throw the name of Jesus against that evil spirit. Because the moment you conquer that evil spirit motivating them, they will change behavior. Hallelujah? Are you with me? You cannot keep quiet. That thing that is oppressing you, be it poverty or barrenness or disease, fear, you wake up in the morning and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to move or to change. Hallelujah. In the night, so say, I'm always having bad dreams. But it depends. If you don't think you're a child of God, fine, enjoy your bad dreams. But if you believe that you're a child of God, yeah? The bad things, you're still having it, I know. But wake up from that dream and use the name of Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke your dream. If there's something you saw in that dream, don't keep quiet. Mention that thing and cancel it in the name of Jesus. At night, take the name again. It belongs to you. Hallelujah. Throw it at that problem. Because every knee must what? And you know what? The Bible says that those that trust in the Lord, they are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. So that means that if I trust in the Lord, I must not move. Amen? I must stand my ground. Bible says, Ephesians says, stand therefore in the morning. Until he bows, I must continue to give it the name. Hallelujah. You give it a good shot. Hallelujah. Amen? You give it what? A good shot. You know, like people are on drugs. You should never be on drugs. You don't need hard drugs ever in your life. It ruins life. Amen? You don't need to be under the influence of alcohol. It can ruin your life. People that lives have been ruined. It's terrible. However, when they want to take a shot, Yeah? Then they are under what? The influence. But after a while, it may fade. Am I right? So what do they need to do? Another one. Yeah? Give that problem a shot of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Some problems we bow immediately with one shot. Some, they need continuous shot. Hallelujah. You will give up if you don't believe in the name. But if you do, you will not shift ground. Because you know that the name of Jesus is above every other name. So every name must bow. They must ultimately bow. This name is personal. Your victory is personal. Your problem, you are the best person that understands your problem. Hallelujah. Wake up in the morning. Open to Philippians 2, 9 to 11. Say the name of Jesus above all names. Let me tell you something about names. The name of Jesus is above every noun. So, quick question. What is a noun? Hey, wait. Let's have a professional opinion of noun. There you go. Hold it. Yeah?
A noun tell is a name.
You're too fast. Everybody listen. What is a noun?
A noun is a name of a person, place, or thing.
Say that again.
A noun is
the name of what?
A person.
A place.
Or a thing.
Or a thing. Okay, I think one is missing. No, this is actually what you said is the new definition. I saw it in dictionary. I checked yesterday. But tell me, someone give me a full out version. Yes? Yeah, go for it. What is a noun?
It's the name of a person.
A person?
Animal.
Place. A thing. Hallelujah. We don't want to equate persons with animals. They are not on the same level. Amen? And we don't want to equate animals with things. They are not on the same level. Hallelujah. You know what I said? Because he said, it's above, the exalted in Ephesians 1, far above all principalities and powers and truth and dominion, and every name that can be named. So that means every noun. Hallelujah. Anything that has a name, the name of Jesus is above it. I'm going to say one more thing to blow your mind. But then before that, let me just quickly explain. Listen to this. Just listen. That means that the name of Jesus is greater than the name of devils. His name is greater than the name of demons. The name of Jesus is greater than the name of any deity or God of any type. The name of Jesus is greater than disease, whether it's heart disease or high disease or lung disease or bone disease or womb disease or blood disease. The name of Jesus is greater. Amen. Hallelujah. So, somebody say you have a blood disease. What are you going to do? You're going to wake up in the morning and speak to that blood that says, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Hallelujah. Only Christ is your heart and your mouth. See, when God does, it's free. God, his salvation is what? It's free. But if you check that verse, salvation still requires your heart and your mouth. Because if you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth. Hallelujah. Let me just continue my list. The name of Jesus is higher than migraine, diabetes, high blood pressure. The name of Jesus is higher than cancer. Now, I know these are terrible. I mean, not all of them, but cancer is a terrible thing. But what are you going to do? Hello? You find someone in that situation. I don't wish you that. What are you going to do? You're going to start signing your will, you know, and, closing your bank account. No, you're going to wake up and say, the name of Jesus is greater than cancer. You speak to it. I say, cancer, I am a member of the body of Christ. You do not belong in my body because Christ has delivered me from the power of darkness. I rebuke you, cancer, in the name of Jesus. Yeah? Hallelujah. I'm almost finishing. Just give me 2 or 3 more minutes. Now listen to this one. The name of Jesus is greater than problems. Whether they are marital or social or family or legal or financial, childbearing, child raising, whatever. The name of Jesus what? Is greater. Hallelujah. So what are you going to do when you have that problem? You cannot afford to keep quiet. You can't keep quiet. You have a heart and you have a mouth. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes when people are arguing, he said, I will not keep quiet. I have a mouth. Hallelujah. So why are you keeping quiet against the devil of all? You will go ahead, you will fight everybody, say, I have a mouth. That's why I have a mouth. And I have a brain. But now, problem, you are keeping quiet. You are swallowing medicine only. Hallelujah. I'm finishing. Jesus is Lord in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. You know there are people under the earth. That's the meaning. When you read Ephesians 1, it says, of things in heaven, on earth, and on earth. It's told you all the dimensions. Those who are not in heaven, where are they? I said, those who are not in heaven, where are they? Under the earth. I'm talking of those who have died. If they are not in heaven, where are they? They're in hell. There's no other place. And where is hell? Now, this one will blow your mind. It's a revelation. Hallelujah. Listen to this. The name of Jesus is higher than the name of God. Because the Bible says God gave him the name above all names. Psalm 138 verse 3 says, you have magnified your word above your name. Who is the word of God? Jesus. The name of Jesus is greater than the name of God. That's why you find that people in the world, they will prefer to pray in the name of God when they're in a public function, that in the name of, those who don't believe, I mean. Because they don't have a right to that name. They're afraid. They are diplomatic. They say, oh, we ask all this in the name of God. Yeah? If you are praying like that, yeah, it's zero. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus is higher than the name of God. Amen. And I can prove it again. John 16, I read last week, 23. He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. You see what I mean? That the Father answers to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You see that? That's a revelation. Amen. The name of Jesus is higher than the name of Jehovah. Now, I did not say Jesus is higher than Jehovah. Don't misunderstand it. Jehovah is Father. Jesus is Son. But Jehovah willingly gave Jesus the name to represent him. It was an award. Hallelujah. So I give you my name. Hallelujah. So that means that it means that there is no such thing called Jehovah Witnesses. Amen. You know why? You cannot be a witness of Jehovah because the name given, Acts 4:12, wherein we can be saved. He said there's no other name given. Yeah? Wherein we can be saved except the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's not a Jehovah Witness. Is that Jesus or nothing? Hallelujah. We finished there. So what do you need to do? You need to use the name. Please turn to your neighbor. Say them, ask them, say, what do you need to do when faced with situations and circumstances? You use the name of Jesus day and night. Hallelujah. So you see, in rounding up, when you understand the power of that name, you can't treat it trivially. You can't hear me treat the name of Jesus. I reserve it for action. Are you understanding? I can't use Jesus as a curse word. I reserve it for maximum action. Amen? Because I know the power in the name.